Okay, welcome back to Ask Uncle Lee Wednesday. And well, let's get straight into the questions. First, the intro. Welcome to my channel. You are entering the world of magic and mysticism with your host, Lee W. Johnson. Keep the lights on and help improve the channel by becoming a supporter for just $2.99 per month. Hit the join button. Okay, so the first question today is from Dark Angel 7820. There's a few channels, well, a few I know of, trying to say that demons and angels are not real. They're all in our head. If we don't believe that, then we are questioning the best magicians of the world, including Crowley. Based on what I have felt, seen, experienced, I have to disagree with that. I had one tell me, there's no demons or angels, only human spirits. What's your take on this? Yes, no, and all of it. I mean, are there angels and demons, separate to us? You know, the person who thinks that there's only human spirits and there's no angels and demons, why are there human spirits? Are these entities external to us, or are they part of us? Are they part of our own psyche? Are they just archetypes that are then part of our own psyche? This was suggested by Crowley in the Ars Goetia, that the spirits within the Goetia or the Goetia are actually just aspects of our own psyche. And when we use the sigil and we call these spirits, these demons, we're actually activating parts of our own psyche. That's only one way of viewing it. Another is that these spirits are external. From a hard polytheistic point of view, gods and goddesses are their own entities. They are their own beings. They are external to us. That's also true. But it's all true. Let's put it that way. It's all true. There, you know, I went for years and years and years. I went backwards and forwards from this idea that they are parts of our psyche, and then they are external to us, and they are parts of us, and then they are external to us. I kept going backwards and forwards, and then eventually I realized it's both. There's no difference. It is both, because when you start viewing the mysteries, and you start experiencing the mysteries, you start to realize that all of these things that we consider to be external, we find that we consider them to be separate from ourselves. And that's the difference. You know, we can speak of things being external from us, but it doesn't mean that they are separate. It's when we view things as being separate from us that we have a bit of a problem. These things are not separate from us. We are all part of the same thing. So if we, whether we view them as external or we view them as internal, yes, same thing at the end of the day. And it wouldn't be insulting or questioning the best magicians of the world, because those best magicians of the world would have come to the same conclusion, and they would be waiting for you to come to the same conclusion. So, you know, anybody who says that they are not real, or they're all in your head, or all, anything like that, haven't examined it from all perspectives and haven't come to the conclusion that people like Crowley did. So, you know, don't think that everybody has the answers. Nobody's got the answers. And all these people that tell you a particular thing are trying, or they're trying to tell you you're wrong. They're wrong themselves. They're wrong, you're wrong, they're right, you're right. Let's all have a big party. It really just boils down to that. That yes and no. You can't put it into a nice, neat little category. This is energy. It's the cosmos. It's the spiritual aspects. It's the other world. And you know, when we talk about that, we can also bring in our own physical world into that, because our own physical world is the other world. Are we dreaming at this moment in time? You're watching this. Are you dreaming? Yes, you are. This is a dream. Everything is a dream. When you go to sleep and you dream, you're dreaming. When you wake up, you're dreaming. You know, you've got to. It gets difficult, but it's about really just seeing everything from every perspective that you possibly can. And no real answer to the question, I don't think. All right, so gonna go on to the next one. Max Blizzard. I have been attempting to work with Prince Seer for a few weeks now. I would like certain issues to come to pass. I've given offerings and meditated. One of his offerings is water. For the last couple of days, the water has been cloudy when I've come to renew it the next day. Is this a bad thing? I'm thinking it is. I also talked to Belial and Barbatos. The cloudy water only really appeared after I started an altar and leaving offerings for Belial. They all have different altars. I really don't want to offend any of them. They're all just as important to me. I treat them all with the utmost respect. Thanks in advance. Okay, so in regards to any offerings, whether it's water, whether it's food, whether it's drink, if it's something that can be that alters over time, food degrades, it gets stale or it gets rotten or it gets moldy, something like that. Drinks, alcohols, coffees, teas, they may evaporate. So if it's something which can alter over a short period of time, then the best thing to do is, if you are noticing like your water's getting cloudy the next day, you know, from day to day, first set up exactly the same thing. So exactly the same, two containers that are exactly the same with the same thing in it. So if you pour in water from a jug, pour water into the two vessels from the same jug. So there's no difference. This is all about experimentation. It's a scientific approach. So you take these two vessels with the same water in them, you give one as an offering, and then you put one next to, but not on the altar, as not an offering. It's just a glass of water. Okay, but it's from the same jug, it's in the same type of container. One's being given an offering and the other one isn't. Then see if they are both going cloudy. If they are both going cloudy, there's probably something in your environment that is affecting the water itself. So get that tested. It could be bad for you. If the one on the altar goes cloudy and the other one does not, then it is something spiritual. It's something to do with the spirit themselves. It's usually what we find is, if the thing goes starts to go moldy, or it starts to attract flies or things like that, or gnats, then it's usually in reference to the offering was not accepted. They do not like that particular thing. You could have given them red wine, and the next day all of a sudden it starts growing mold. They don't like that. Okay. If it doesn't grow moldy, if it's liquid and it evaporates, completely evaporates, or if it's food and it dries out instead of going moldy, that's the energy being extracted from it, and it was accepted. There was no mold, there was no adverse reaction to it. Then you know, don't offer that thing again. But water going cloudy is a bit tricky. I've never actually seen that myself, be honest. So I would definitely test for whether it's something in the environment or whether it's just not being accepted by the spirit. They don't want water, they want something different. So, you know, try different water. If you've got a river or a stream nearby, collect some of that and give that as an offering. See if that is affected. Gather some rainwater. Try that if it's water that you want to offer, because water is usually the one thing that You can offer to any spirit that's accepted because the water contains is a good conductor of energy, and it can not just electrical energy but any kind of energy. So when you are making an offering of water, you've got that love, the feelings that you have towards the spirit, the devotion and things like that, they all get put into the water, and that's what the energy that gets passed on. So water is usually a good one. Going cloudy is a bit of an interesting one. Definitely do the experiment of doing two vessels, same vessel, with the same water from the same source. Make an offering one and don't offer the other one, but put it close by so it's in the same space, in the same environment, and just see if they both go cloudy or not. Just test it if there's something in your environment which is causing that. It's definitely something you would want to have a look into. All right, let me go on to the next one, which I think is not that one. Not that one. So this one. Okay, it's actually the last question I've got here. It's from Lana Suarez 4201. I have these entities that speak a very strange language, and they have different voices, and sometimes they show up and try to speak through me, but I can't understand, and sometimes speak few words in English. I don't know how to make them go. I tried with some healers, but nobody can send them away. What should I do? Okay, my first question is, why do you want to send them away? Just because you don't understand them doesn't mean they haven't got a message for you. You may want to try and get to a point where you actually understand each other, and that may be working with them. Asking them to teach you their language, asking them if they can actually communicate in more English words that you understand. But if they are sticking around and they're trying to communicate with you, they've probably got a very, very important message for you. And by trying to push them away, you are ignoring them. That's actually quite insulting. I would find it insulting myself. I have practically all of the spirits that I work with, when I channel them, just freely channel them, I do spontaneous singing, which is just letting the energy flow, just the ambient energy, whatever the energy is. I just let it flow through me, and it comes through my voice, however it wants to. And the same thing happens when I work with the spirits. I start with spontaneous singing to get the energy flowing freely, and then I let the energy of the spirit come through, and they start talking in some weird language that there's no language on earth that sounds like it. Therefore, what do I do? I ask them if it's actually a message that I need. I ask them to communicate it in English, and they're quite happy to oblige. But usually, it's either a working we're doing, or that energy just needs to move through me in a particular way, and it comes out verbally because I do spontaneous singing. But as I say, it's usually a working, so I know what the working is. They know what the working is about. And therefore, they just start talking, and the energy goes into the working and gets directed to it. I don't understand what they're saying. I don't need to. I understand, I know what they're doing, and I know what they're doing through me. But I don't need you. I don't know why you want to get rid of them. It's just, I find this a lot with people who are going into witchcraft and stuff, I have something in my house. I'll need to get rid of it. Why? Maybe it's a house ghost. Maybe it's been in your house for since the time it was built, and even before. Maybe it was on the land where your house was built, and it's been there for hundreds of years. And then this house was built on top of it, and now it becomes a member of the house. It's that spirit's house. You moved in. And now all of a sudden you've got these bumps and bangs and everything else, and you want to get rid of this thing. It's not just your house, it's the spirit's house. Therefore, give it offerings. Try and get along with it. Try and live with it, because the one thing that spirit's going to do is protect your house, or the house that you are both living in. So it can be very beneficial for both of you, if you actually create a relationship. But just because you don't understand something doesn't mean you have to get rid of it immediately. Try and understand what it is. If it's a spirit that is talking in a language that you cannot understand, then try to come to some agreement where you can learn the language they're talking, or try and get them to communicate in English. If John Dee and Edward Kelly didn't continue the work they were doing, we wouldn't have Enochian angels. We wouldn't have the Enochian language, because that's a completely different language to any language found on planet Earth. It's the language supposed said to be the language of the angels, and therefore we wouldn't have this entire Enochian system, because Edward Kelly and John Dee would have sat there and go, well, we don't understand what you're trying to say, so go away. Same situation. So definitely try and work with them to understand what's going on, and try and understand what they're trying to tell you. That would be my advice anyway. All right, and that's the end of the questions. So if you've got any more questions, put them in the chat below, in the comments, and I'll add them to my list. All right, so that's it for this week, and I'll see you next week with something else. Have a good one for now. Bye bye.